It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined by Corey the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Alright guys, we are back. We back. There's so much to talk about.
It's been a month to the day.
It's been an entire month. That's that's probably our longest. Longest yet.
It was something.
Being a nurse, nursing student's tough. But we're back. Corey, how have you been, buddy?
I've been fucking busy. Mardi Gras over, and now everyone's got the Mardi Gras sickness, where you just catch something because there's too many people gathered in, like, sometimes shitty weather. It's either hot and rainy, or it's freezing because it rained. So after Mardi Gras, everyone tends to get sick. I'm not really sick. I just have like my sinuses are messed up. But I am tired as fuck. Mardi Gras takes place over a month, but it's not like condensed until Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Was that fucking 7 days of just straight, every single day is a party. And then Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And if you ever see people with the weird ash cross on their head, that's really big down here. So it's like you go be a fucking lunatic for 7 days, and then you pretend like everything's back to normal with your God after that. But everybody's drained. It's just that's the time of year it is. Everybody's just disgusted with life, but made good money. That's how I am, Mason. I'm sorry. My team didn't make it to the Super Bowl. I don't know what else.
You can't even make it to the Super Bowl?
My team didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Next year is going to suck. Anticipate another month break next year when the Super Bowl is in New Orleans on Mardi Gras weekend.
Is it in New Orleans next year?
It is in New Orleans. They've been prepping the Superdome for 5 years to get it up to code for a Super Bowl.
Are you fucking happy you don't work there anymore?
I will be working that. Out of my own volition, because I am going to make bank. I'm probably going to make at least $2,000 that day.
God damn.
I will probably double that week.
I could use $2,000.
Yeah. I'll go buy a PlayStation and get fucking Helldivers.
Fuck that. Yeah.
So I'm next year, I'm going to Cuba. Meet me in Cuba with my boy Dakota. Next year, don't be surprised if this happens again. Every single year, we pretend like we're prepared for Mardi Gras, and we never are. And shit's just up. It's just terrible. It's just OSHA violations everywhere, every fucking day of it. And next year, all these big corporations will be here, and the biggest game will be played down here. And the city cannot handle that. Our infrastructure is fucked. It's going to be a delight. We'll just call it that. We'll just call it that.
Fair enough.
Well, how are you? How are you? How's school?
School's been kicking my fucking ass. I mean, obviously, I had to take a lot of time off just to even stay afloat, but we're into the reading week now, so.
Reading week. Before this, we discussed what that meant.
Sorry, yawning, but yeah, we were discussing it. Yeah, much needed. Much needed reading week.
Much needed. Yeah, I don't think I ever did the right thing. I think I used reading week to like catch up on all my all my backlog art that I needed to turn in for grades.
I usually use it for sleep and work. I load up my bank account on reading week with just shit. Dude,
one year I had like six pieces of art I had to turn in. Because that's like for art kids, when you got to go in for like midterms and shit, it's normally like you have to have like a certain number of pieces done and a certain media type. And that's, you know, that's your grade, right? You know? so some kids do it like they're supposed to, progressively. And then some kids like me will just like eat a bunch of acid and try to knock it out in a fucking weekend. And, I had like a mixed media one, and I didn't know what the fuck to do. So I literally took some spray paint, spray painted, like a 20 by, I don't know, 20 by 15, 20 by 14 piece of paper, like some thick paper. I spray painted that red and then literally did, I don't know, 8 times the size of a match that was lit on fire and like burnt out. And my teacher laughed so fucking hard at because she just know I was just powering through anything. But she was like, I wouldn't accept this if it wasn't so detailed, but because I actually put details, she accepted it.
Yeah. I've definitely got a few things that have accumulated that I've sort of had to, you know, get ready for backlog, but it's been good. It's been good to be back. Fuck, we should start rolling into it, eh?
Yeah, why don't we pick up where we left off one month ago?
We made some predictions.
We made some predictions. Let's pull them up real quick. All right. Mason asked the question, does Slavkovsky end the season with 38? I believe he said 38 points. And then you changed it to, do you think he'll make 38 to 40 points at the end of the season? We're going to lock that in as Mason's since he asked it.
I said 38.
I said he's going to stop at 30, 33. He's at a solid 30 points in the season. He's been red hot. I can't wait to talk about him. He's got 30 points on the season right now with 27 games left. He is going to smoke. He's going to smoke my record, and he's coming for Mason's. That being said, you want to just kind of comment on Slafkovsky for a second? Let's look at him as of late. I think in fantasy he was sitting around. I think just last week he was like in fifth overall in my league. It was insane. Like he's got it right now. Last
Yeah,
five games,
I
three
think
goals,
we made a poor
5 points, five
poor
assists. Jesus.
prediction saying he would only get to 38. He's at
You
30.
know what? What did he do? He was like, y'all tripping.
He's gone off. He has been one of the hottest players. Him and Suzuki and Caulfield, mostly him and Suzuki have been some of the hottest players in the NHL. The entire league, this entire month of February. And yeah, 30 points, 12 goals. He's on pace for, well, sorry, let me, what was he on? Had it here. Yeah, on pace for 45 points. That's not a bad sophomore season at
Not
all.
a bad sophomore, and
And
it's
if
actually pretty
anything,
doable.
if he keeps up the rate in which he's scoring, he could even surpass that. So, pretty incredible
Wow.
stuff from Slafkovsky.
Imagine having to end the season, which I guess could be our, we can talk about it in a little bit. End the season with a guy with 70 points, 40 plus points, and potentially 50 points. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, well, and Caulfield's been, lacking in the goals department a little bit, but he put up a
But he
12.
produces every fucking like every game. It's very rare
Yeah.
he's off the score sheet. He might not
But,
be. Yeah.
sorry, I'm yawning there. I'm fucking tired.
You're good. I'm tired as well.
Suzuki and Slaf are both riding 8-game point streaks as well. Slaf has the longest point streak by a teenager in Habs history.
Starting early, dude. Jesus.
Incredible.
I've been happy with his play, dude. Mike Matheson has also been like, you could see like the swing in the power play as of late, where they're just giving his chances. He almost tied the game up against, who was that? The no, not the Rangers. The Rangers destroyed us, right?
The Rangers did mess us up, but Slaf had a very nice goal.
Yeah, he did. Who was the last game we played? What team was that? Okay. Washington. We own he should have scored that. He should have scored in the last couple of seconds. He had a great opportunity. But man, that look that he's been getting on that power play has been nasty.
They've been phenomenal, and he Slaf has totally changed the dynamic of that power play as well. He's provided a new option, not only shooting, where we've seen him scoring some goals. He's been great in retrievals all year, but a new passing threat as well. He's been laying some absolute dimes, specifically to Suzuki. And Suzuki, of course, has been dishing him right back that backhanded sauce that
Yeah,
he
he's
has.
revitalized Suzuki's like goal scoring ability with these passes.
Yeah, Suzuki's leading the team now, has his third straight 20 goal season, and it's just totally changed. It's turned the power play into a real threat. It's been a positive. The Habs are 18th or 17th in the league. That's the highest I've seen them. Especially considering where we were for the rest of the season, that's the highest I've seen the Habs power play in years. I know that's pathetic to say, but this late in the season, we're usually guaranteed like at least 28th, right? We're usually pretty low down there. And yeah, Slaf has really revitalized the power play. And honestly, Newhook's done very well to fill in for Monahan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're totally right on that. It's crazy to think that just not that long ago we were begging for him to get some looks on the power play. And it's like as a podcast host, to feel like you were right in that, as like a collective. It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice to just see this kid. All I had to do was give him an opportunity. He's been working his bag off. to get the opportunity, and he is fucking running with it.
Absolutely.
And the best, we're still losing. I hate to say that because they're fun to watch most nights, but we're losing, and it's keeping us in a chance to still get like a, you know, in the top 10 on the draft.
Well, yeah, if that first line's not scoring like three, four goals, we're usually not winning the game. Yeah.
We need a Michael Pezzetta, put it on his back fucking night.
But that's okay, because honestly, what we've seen from that top line,
we don't need a win. We just need guys to develop.
Yeah, no, really. And to see like that top line has been one of the best. They've been the best line. Well, who said it? I think it was Vincent Trocheck. I think really? It was the Ranger. Oh, who said it? I can't remember who it was. But team came away from playing the Habs and basically said that, well, no, not basically said, they've been the best line in the NHL. They've been the hottest line in the NHL.
That's
this
crazy.
They planned to play them. I believe it was someone on the Rangers. They said they planned to face that Slav Suzuki line. They've been the hottest line in the NHL. And they have. And to hear something like that, and to see where they are, Slav and Suzuki are two of the top three hottest players in the NHL this month. They've scored the most points. Mm-hmm. They've been going crazy. Now, Kaprizov might have just changed that with that ridiculous Minnesota-Vancouver game that completely derailed my fantasy week, let me add. But no, they've been absolutely phenomenal, and we're seeing the superstar like potential of Slav really start to shine.
Just Slavkovsky in my fantasy. Last week he was ranked 29th with 2 goals and 6 points. The previous week total, 2 weeks in a row, ranked 13th. And then for the month, he's ranked 23rd with 6 goals for 12 points. Just been on a fucking heater. Unreal. Another thing, and you pointed on it for a second, but it deserves a little bit more conversation. His ability to keep a puck in our hands, like in, you know, to take it back or to play the boards that much harder. He's, I wouldn't call him like a 200-foot player. I think he's got it in him, but just defensively in the opponent's zone, he's just getting so good at taking that puck back and allowing us to get one more threat, like one more chance on net. It's astonishing for him to get to that. And I say the same thing for Cole Caulfield. We haven't touched on him yet. Despite his goals might be lacking, but he's doing really good points-wise. But he's another guy whose game has really developed with really giving us a second chance after turning over the puck.
Absolutely.
All right, well, look, since we'll take a pause on Slavkovsky, let's go to the last thing we said about Nick Suzuki since we talked about him a little bit. The last question stated in the last podcast was over or under on points. The question was for under a point per game at the end of the season. Your guess was 70 to 75 points. Let's see where he's at right now. Excuse me. He's sitting at 53 points on the season. He's got 27 games left. I said over. I took the over. I said he was going to get 82. I think that's a bit tough. But I think it's 70, closer to you.
70 is very easily in reach. He has 27 games to get 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very much within.
I think he's going to hit 70, and I think it's going to be massive.
I don't think 80 is out of the realm of possibility either. He'll have to stay hot, but because he doesn't have a cushion, but he could do it.
So look, His is totals with the Canadians of all time. He's got the 20 season 41, 41, 61, 66, 53 with the short season. Excuse me. Oh, fucking sneezing bad today. Honestly, I think he would have pushed past 70 if he didn't get hurt last season at only playing 55 games.
That's the seat, buddy.
Oh my God, dude. Smoke
He's got
weed.
53 and
Smoke weed,
55.
buddy. Smoke weed. Smoke weed. Yeah, dude, he's about to crush that. He's about to crush passes his best. And I would not be surprised if we're looking for closer at 75 than 70. I just don't see them slowing down. I don't think 82, that's what I said. I took the over on it, but I would your guess at 70 to 75 is like right on the money. If he goes past it, fucking rights to jump up potentially 15 to 20 points on your last season. I think that's insane. I think it's insane. And he's done it for the past couple of years with new line mates, with a lot of injuries, with utilizing whoever he could. Like the story about Nick Suzuki last year was that he got 66 points playing with a new line every month, basically, because everyone got hurt until he eventually, I think he had a couple of games out. No, played a full 82 games. That is wild. Jesus Christ. Okay. If he can do that with fucking anybody, if he can get 66 with fucking anybody on his team, it's insane to see once we got some good rhythm around him, what he's capable of. It's going to be the first 70-point guy since what? Max Domi, right? I think he got
Yeah,
73
he would be the first since
his
Max.
year. This is going to be fucking massive for us. And for it to be the captain, goddamn, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think looking into the future, it's more exciting because when you consider that the chemistry this line is beginning to show, imagining what they're going to be doing next season when they have more threats on the second line, like a Kirby Dach. Yeah, I think it's even more exciting to really think about how many goals Caulfield might get, how many points Slav's gonna get, how can Suzuki further build upon his offensive game. The possibilities for this line are endless, and I think it if Slav and it's all because of Slav, and if Slav can continue to play the way he does, it really changes the fears, I think, at least that we've talked about with, needing an elite line, needing elite scoring. If these guys can get it done together, the outlook for this team as a cup contender, it changes drastically. Then you're looking for one more piece and you've got it. And if
I
that's the
agree.
case, hopefully if the Habs can get that piece this draft, these guys can continue to this Slav Suzuki Caulfield line can continue to produce and continue to get better. And then you slot a really good piece on that second line with Dach and Newhook or Waugh, either or get another really good piece, create a second really dynamic offensive line. Add in Hudson and Rheinbacher, other defensive prospects. We have a very strong outlook for this team. So it's really exciting just how much Slav can change the outlook for this team. And honestly, that's what a first overall pick can do, right? And we're starting to see maybe not as quickly as some may have hoped. Certainly, we've had our doubts on this podcast before. But we're starting to see the potential that a first overall pick can have, what that can do to the team, the outlook. And if Slav can continue to reach for the sky and continue to grip better and better and better, he could single-handedly change the entire outlook of this organization. And I think that's a very exciting prospect to consider.
Right now, it's just like right now, the pick, if the vision was to put these three together, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. Like If they envision this, I am fucking on board. This has been fun. This has been so fun to watch as of late. And I think if he can produce this well, you made a valid point. Just need one more piece to solidify this team. I when we went to the cup, when we had our cup run, we didn't have like a knockout guy. We just had great lines all producing with a, I don't have the stats in front of me, but like everybody was having like tremendous seasons. If we have just solidarity on every line and they're producing, they're just kind of pulling their fucking weight, and this first line can continue to go off like this. Because I think the second line with Kirby Doc, a healthy Kirby Doc, either Newhook, and someone else like a Pat, like Waugh or something there. It's almost said Patrick Waugh. I don't see them faltering. Just we could be right there again. I don't want to say at the cup, but I think this team goes from, wanting a tank to at least enjoying the games without the entire fan base pulling analytics and wanting us to falter so we can get another big piece. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But we're getting so close to being able to be like better than the middle of a pack team. And if this team stays at this rate, it's gonna be fucking fun.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
All right, let's move on to the last part of the last question from last week. Caulfield, you presented, will Caulfield get over or under 35 goals? My answer was I took the over. I said if he gets 30, if he can get to 30, then he'll get 35. We got once again 27 games left in this season. He's sitting at what, 19 goals for 45 points. I think that one's going to be a bit tough. That's 10 to 15 goals. I think he's going to get to 30. I don't know if he's going to chase 35. And my number one thing about that, and we saw it in the Rangers game, hasn't scored in the last five games. He's got two goals in the Rangers game. Big part of Cole Caulfield, especially last year, I think he's only had four multi-goal games this season, and a multi-goal game from Cole Caulfield before his shoulder injury was like every other fucking game. I think that's the big difference maker, is that unfortunately he's not getting the lucky bounce of getting a multi-goal game every now and then to help boost his fucking numbers. He's getting ones here and there, but honestly, with the red hot offense, he's getting assists like it's nobody's business. So I think if he can end this season 30 goals, like I said, though, if he does not get to 30, it would be like 28. I don't think it's fair that I added 29 because that's just me trying to milk it as close as I could. But even somewhere between 28 and 30 goals with over 50 points, he's at 45. He's got 27 games left. I think he can get to 60 fucking points on the season. So a 28 to 30 goal scorer with 60 points alongside Slafkovsky, who's going to obliterate my 33 points. Slafkovsky is probably going to be closer to 40. Nick Suzuki is going to be tiptoeing past 70. And then a 60-point guy. I think this is one of the best lines for the Canadians in a long time. I think I wouldn't be surprised as far as keeping the puck in our control, give it like a year or so, we'll be rivaling Dano's line back in what, 4 years ago.
Offensively, I'd have to agree. I think this
I
is
think offensively, but I the way Slafkovsky has been playing, I think we're gonna just stop myself. But
I
I do
understand
think
what you're
that
saying.
we will be chasing that group.
There's absolutely the potential for this line too. And you would hope, right? These are the three most talented players this team has had in decades.
Like you remember Slavkovsky's the little bit of time that he came in for the playoff run. He was just stealing the puck. He was just turning
Caulfield.
the what's that?
Slav hasn't been in the playoffs.
No, Caulfield.
Yeah, Caulfield, okay.
Yeah. Like he still got that in his game. Slavkovsky's really shining in that department now. And we know Nick Suzuki can hunt it if he wants to. Like if it he's gonna play more of a safe defensive position, but if he's got a chance to do it, he's gonna take it. You got three guys who aren't afraid to fucking to jab at the puck. I think it's just one, it's gonna produce more turnovers for the defense. And then fucking more opportunities offensively for us. It's all their points are only going to go up, and the defense might have to save them every now and then. It's going to happen, but I think they're going to start testing that water. They're going to start like a little bit of cheating, a little bit of, like not playing it safe. But I mean, fuck, dude, we're not looking to win right now, so let them run.
No, I'm all for it. Let the boys out of the cage and let's see what they can do, right? And I think their offensive capabilities speak for themselves. I agree. I think that defensively they could be very effective by limiting the possession of other lines. And I think that when Slaf is retrieving pucks on the boards and Suzuki's and Caulfield, who have the intelligence to determine where he's going to want to put the puck, or it just creates, these extended offensive zone possessions where they're constantly keeping the puck in when it looks like the other line's going to get it out. And aside from creating possession, that just t it tires, it wears down opposing lines, right? And since they are matching up against a lot of the times the opponent's top, line, it has created some really good opportunities for the Habs, and I think there's a lot of way this line a lot of ways this line works, and it's really inspiring to see.
Absolutely. If you're, I'm not going to say a minor player for the Habs, but if you're not, if you're one of these depth guys, to see these guys do this every fucking night and like really put it out there, you know they're galvanizing behind it. Like everybody's pulling their weight,
Oh,
but to
absolutely.
have this first line just going off like this, dude, it has gotta get you pumped up. The Bell Center
Yeah,
has been
no way
sounding
it does.
so fun.
What'd you say, sorry?
I said the Bell Center has been sounding so fucking fun.
They're hyped. Slaf's been on a fucking heater. Suzuki's been scoring goals left and right. Even Josh Waugh and Newhook have looked really good together. We've barely spoken about that. Before we get into it, I think we may have a quick word from our friends.
Yeah, over at DraftKings. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer with tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports. You can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, and over-unders, prop bets, your betting options feel endless. I don't know. It wants me to talk a little something. I'm not prepared. I'm just gonna bring up the Genesis. Last 2 weeks, I watched the Waste Management. Fucking crazy. I think they're gonna end up taking that away. They're gonna have to dull that down. I don't want to see it, but I think the PGA will because they're just trying to be too classy. But I think you gotta have the Waste Management to compete with like what LIV was doing. Like this is like PGA's only this like PGA's only like major tournament where, they let motherfuckers act a fool like this. And it's the closest thing to what the kids want these days. This is the modern golfer. The modern golf junkie is watching the fucking Waste Management. But I watched the Genesis. I was following Cantlay all weekend and is it Hideki Matsuyama? I know I butchered that. This dude went and pulled it. I didn't get a chance to watch anything Sunday. I had to work. Didn't get to see that. A little upset. I was really following Cantlay. But yeah, I've been watching some golf, Mason. You'll be proud. Since I can't fucking play. let's see. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. You guys remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a free risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's for Arizona. 1-800-522-4700. And 888-789-7777. Visit HTTP, Jesus Christ, ccpg.org/chat, motherfuckers. 1-800-BETS-OFF. 1-877-770-STOP. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. Visit OPGR.org. Call text TN Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Jesus, 1-800-188-532-3500. 21 plus, 18 plus in Wyoming. Physically present in our. Gee, I'm not reading all this shit. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Jesus Christ, dude. That was insane. Thank you so much, DraftKings. That one was insane. What the fuck? Back to it. Take it away. I need to take a break. I can't even, I have no liquid in my mouth anymore. It's cotton mouth out of this world. DraftKings. Take it away, Ernie. So look, before we went on that fucking break, we'll call it that. You brought up Alex Newhook, who just came back, and
Joshua.
Joshua Waugh. Joshua. What are some things you've been noticing about him that you've been excited for?
I think they play well together. Newhook's looked good. Waugh has looked good. I really actually liked the dynamic with Yoel Armia. Unfortunately, fucking Marty threw Anderson up there, so I think the line is about to become a little less effective. But I like the way Waugh and Newhook read off each other. I think they were starting to develop some chemistry. And Waugh, I think he has 3 or 4 points through his first 10 games, but he looks solid, right? Like he does not look out of place. He's clearly kind of absorbing the speed of the NHL like a sponge, sort of figuring out what works, what doesn't. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts putting up a few points here and there. I would have really liked to have seen Newhook, Waugh, and Yolonen. I think they could have been pretty dynamic together, but Yolonen's been sitting on the bench the last few games in favor of players like Gallagher and Anderson, Pezzetta and Gignac. So
Well,
what the
Gignac's
fuck
been
do I
great.
know? He's
But
been
look,
great, but Yolonen,
no, absolutely. Yolonen owes its his chances. Even someone like a press person asked Martin St. Louis if he was, like what is his process with Yolonen? They see that he's I don't know if the word was hard on him because this was a couple of games back. But he did say, there's a standard, every day I work with him, he works with the extra trainers and shit like that. I think Ilonen, he's a great player.
Lonen just scares me because I feel like he's one of those players that we're gonna lose on waivers and he's gonna do really well.
He reminds me of,
Has
well, I don't
never
want to
gotten an opportunity.
I was gonna say, I don't want to say he reminds me of Yoel Armia. He reminds me of Yoel Amia's ability. Like, you know he's got it, but he's not showing it. In his case, he's not showing it because he's not getting an opportunity to show
it. I think
a
lot of it is that he plays, it's sort of similar to what was happening with Slaff when he was on the third and fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard to make plays and make reads when you're playing with players who are inconsistent and who aren't, you know, they're not seeing the ice and not seeing things that you're trying to create.
Right.
If you're trying to create a 1-2, a give and go, sorry, just turned into soccer talk there. If you're trying to create a give and go, or you're trying to make a pass off the boards, or say you're trying to create something off the face off, anything, and your teammate doesn't see it, it doesn't matter how well you execute it, yeah, because they don't know it's coming. And I think with Yalone, and that happens.
And I think that's also based on him not having any chemistry with a consistent line. He's, like you said, absolutely, he's either out the game or it's jumbled. Now, I do have to say this. They've got to play Josh Anderson because this is his last chance for this organization to move him around. I don't see it getting any better. They're hoping that he can find his game again like a couple of months back and potentially be something by the end of the deadline. I don't see it. I think the doors are shut on Josh Anderson. I think if we get anything, let me rephrase it. If we get anything for Josh Anderson, I don't think it's going to be a win, but I think anything for him is going to be progress just because of the salary. I think he's sitting at 5. It's either 5 or like a high 4 or something. But I get they got to play him because they're shopping him. But if he's not there, I think they're comfortable they're comfortable allowing Brendan Gallagher to play like a third line role. If Anderson's not there, I think you see them have an opportunity to play Yolonen on a second, or to play Yolonen on a third with a consistent spot where he's not getting sat. You know,
I think Gallagher provides something outside of goal scoring and points production, which I just don't think he's going to be able to keep up with. Obviously, the contract is going to be bad, but we've seen that he is capable of doing a little bit in a third line capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Anderson is dead fucking money. It's brutal. He makes every line he's on worse.
Excuse me.
He has been a black hole. Defensively, offensively, he's just terrible. And it's sad because when he was good, he was great and it was awesome. And he was a fun player. Loves, you know, you can tell he's a guy that loves playing for the Blue Blanc et Rouge. But they need to, they should have, that Kent Hughes not trading him while he could have got a first remains one of the worst. It's a stain. It really is a stain on his record. And nothing's a certainty in the sport of hockey, but Josh Anderson commands and will command no return. He is not the Habs will have to get rid of something to get rid of Josh Anderson, and I think it's just a reality of the situation. I don't think he provides anything, and you can't have guys like him and Gallagher making that much money taking up roster spots. It's just, we have young guys who can fill the role and actually play and, you know, grow and reach a potential. Anderson is only going to get worse from here. I think next season, this season it is what it is, but next season I think you'll really start to see the detrimental effect that he has on this team and the development.
Well, yeah, because he's going to be holding a roster spot for it from now moving forward. There's always going to be two guys stuck in the AHL because we can't, you know, we can't move to, you know, some guys. Like, it's going to be unfortunate that two guys are going to be way past like an AHL caliber and we're going to only be able to take one up. And one guy is going to have to sit back and continue his process in the A. And it's going to suck.
Exactly. It is,
you know, I think we'd be wise to. I think we'd be wise to accept that, you know, our return is going to be low. But if we take some, if we retain some of that contract, it's better than taking the full thing. So whatever they can do to make it work, maybe he gets lumped into a deal, you know. But I think you're right. We had an opportunity, and look, I think you're right. When he could have gone for big, we should have moved him. But, you know, there's no guarantee that we were getting offers. We expected that. That's what everyone was saying. Maybe we didn't get a first, you know. Maybe it wasn't what they wanted. I'm trusting their process still. But that, like you said, that's gonna be a kicker, because that could be something you can't do anything with the Gallagher one. You can't do anything with the fucking Gallagher one. That one's stuck. Carey Price is off, what, next season or this season? But Carey Price, we just keep him in long-term IR, and that doesn't affect us. That's not going to happen with Brandon Gallagher. He's going to find a way to come back. Josh Anderson, though, that extra five is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us. I love Josh Anderson. He was an amazing fucking pickup. But he could pull a Sean Monahan and just, you know, have a healthy season where he goes the fuck off. And I would love nothing more for that, for him to do that while he's still on this team, so he can be moved for a big piece.
Totally agree. I would love it, but
I don't think it's going to come to fruition. I think it's what I said earlier. Two guys that are like well ready to come into their own in the NHL, you know, they're going to have to pick one. They're going to have to fucking pick one. And one guy is going to be sitting back. We haven't talked about goalies yet. We got to be getting close on that. By close, I don't mean like something's got to give, but we did not do a three goalie tandem with the hopes of keeping that 82 games.
Oh, what a disaster that we still have. Three goalies.
I'm going to say this, dude. We bit ourselves in our own ass. You know, it was clear. It was clear 2 months ago that Sam Montembeau was going to stay. He's been playing stellar. Primo's been playing good. He's a great backup for Montembeau. You know that the clear-cut fucking answer we've been talking about, the fan base has been talking about for months, well past two fucking months. We know that... that fucking Josh Allen is the best because he knew what his role was here. He's been a tremendous fucking piece for us, and he knew what was going to happen. Why the fuck haven't we played him? He like missed 15 games, and then he's not looking any better. He's cold as shit. He's fucking looking bad. We just shot ourselves in the fucking foot in that sense, and I know they're going to make a move for him, but... you know, he ain't going to be looking like Sean Monahan. People know what Josh Allen's capable of, but they're going to be guessing, well, you know, we've seen what he's capable of, but can he still hold that? We don't know, because you don't fucking play him. You don't play him. He's cold. He's you can't give him the benefit on a doubt on a game where he gets his fucking ass beat, but he's got no relative close game where you can match the fucking numbers. I think we're killing ourselves with that, and we're going to end the fucking season with three goalies. We can't do this another season.
No, this is something that needs to end at the trade deadline, and if it doesn't, I think it's a complete failure.
Yeah, they would have whopped. Let's just say this. If they let it go to that, they're going to end up moving like Primo, based on his ability, because he's got more looks, because they're not going to get anything for Allen if they don't start utilizing him. They're going to get offered a good deal for Primo, and they might have to fucking take it because they refuse to play Josh Allen. Now, granted, you got guys like, was it Dobbs in the back? You got Fowler coming up in 2, 3, maybe 4 years from now. But fuck, dude. I think that they're really, I think it's a cool concept. I think it was great in the beginning, but they at some point they just forgot to play the guy that was supposed to be supposed to be looked at to get moved. Edmonton's not probably not interested anymore. Colorado got shot down in 24 hours. Why do we do that to ourselves?
I don't even like
We got until March 8th. It's not even a month
why
away
like
anymore.
why would we do that to ourselves is a
Yeah,
good
like we've been playing. We've been this organization since the the retool of office. They've been doing things very, meticulously, coordinated, very little pockets here and there. Sometimes it's massive. Sometimes it's one for ones. Shit like that. All of this is supposed to be coming to fruition. It's supposed to be coming to a head. All of this cult, cultivation of moves. How do you shoot yourself right now? You've got everything going for you. You've got no true blunders yet. You've had some tough looks, but nothing concrete yet. If this fucking happens, along with the Josh Allen, Anderson. People are going to start losing faith in this fucking group already. I think it's it'll be a stain on the Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon
To just
administration
get
if
the
they don't
information though,
fucking move this.
teams like Edmonton are already out of their hole, right? And that's not to say that
That doesn't mean that they can't use
maybe
somebody.
Edmonton wasn't willing, right? But
Very
to
true.
with three goalies for an entire season,
Insane.
it doesn't help any of them. It's just poor asset management.
And I mean now with like rumors that like Jacob Markstrom could be on the move, like we're starting to lose like the small teams. We're starting to lose like the middle of the pack groups. That's like, we just really, we could make a playoff push, but if we don't, we need to get our assets started now for next season. That way we're not a middle of the pack group. Some, I don't know. I feel like it's about to be saturated with goalies, and we haven't allowed Josh Anderson, oh, Jesus Christ, Josh Allen to show what he's still got. And to me, that's got to be up there. That is, you know what? That's got to be up there with Josh Anderson, because Josh Allen. For the past what? He's been with us for 4 or 5 years now. Every fucking year, he's held it down for this team. And every year, we could have moved him. We could have moved him. We could have moved him. We could have got him for something. And now we're on the back end. We don't utilize him. He's not being looked at anymore. You know he's got it still, but they're not seeing it. They've got no footage on him. He's going to get overlooked. We're going to get passed up. Some rinky-dink dude is going to go to one of these fucking teams like Colorado, and we're going to be looking at ourselves like fucking idiots because that could have been Josh Allen helping a team run. And they're just going to take some backwater fuck, and it's just going to blow our chances.
Fair
They've
enough.
got, oh my God, they've got 2 weeks. 2, 3 fucking weeks. Holy shit. Oh my God. They've got who 18 days from now, I think. 18 days. They got 18 days to
Not,
figure it the
it's
fuck
not a
out.
lot of time.
No, I honestly thought he would have. I honestly would have thought that. We would have hit the panic button, and then like he would have been traded within this time frame. Like right now, he would have been moving to another team. But he's had, let's look it up. Maybe three games, if that. 19 games this season. His last game was Washington. Okay. So they're starting to play him a little bit, but I mean, fuck, dude. Still got an average deep. He's still got an average save percentage. It's up for when St. Louis came to town. Jesus. Honestly, I thought after the last game we played against Colorado with him, had a 0.914. You knew Colorado was looking around. Thought that was the opportunity. I thought they were going to see something they liked. Evidently not. Evidently not. Final thoughts on Jake Allen? Have I been saying Josh Allen this entire time?
I think you've been saying Jake Allen.
Oh, I haven't. No. I've been saying Josh. Because I've been calling him Josh Anderson.
Well, and I haven't noticed once.
This guy. The 1 month
plus. If they want to keep Jake Allen, that's fine. If they want to keep Caden Primo, that's fine. But they got to get rid of the other one.
You're saying to get rid of Montembeau?
No, I mean they got to get rid.
Oh, they got to get rid of one of them. Okay, I was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
He went from Montembeau to like, this guy's all right. This guy's all right with us. This guy is a fantasy assassin.
He's all right, man. He's all right.
He's all right now. Until you face him in fantasy and you're like, son of a bitch. He doesn't even have to win to kill me. I have no other thoughts. I think we've covered what we wanted to. You got anything else for us?
Nothing springs to mind right away.
Let's see. This next game's tomorrow, probably today when you guys are hearing this. I might edit like 5 a.m. tomorrow, depending. Against the Sabres. Like to pull either a win or a high scoring game for us. I think we got that, but it's the start of a back to back against Pittsburgh the following night. I have nothing else to say. I'm excited for a back-to-back. I love watching the Canadiens right now. That's all I got to say. Thank you all. Thank you all for bearing with us. Mason, take us out. Take us for a walk.
All right. Thank you guys once again for stopping by, listening to Habs Nightly. We will be back again soon. Appreciate all the support. See you guys. Baby.
Thank you all. It's been Habs Nightly.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.